Managed broadcast? Okay.
There we go. That's what we need.
Do not show again. Okay. It's disabled for this event. Go live. Okay, we have to click go live. Okay.
Are we live?
Don't think so.
Good afternoon from OAS Info Service. I've got the click the link on our Twitter to see if we're live.
We're not live. We're not live.
Why are we not live?
I don't know what we're doing. Yeah.
Okay. Go live.
There we go.
It's working now.
I think it's going to start any second now. I think that's...
Good afternoon, and welcome to OAS Info Service.
Thank you for joining us. If you're here with us, we don't know if we're here with us.
Let's get that sound off on your phone.
Okay.
All right.
Neato. All right.
Perhaps you'd like to introduce today's topic, Jose?
This kind of all started as a joke when we were trying to order lunch. But Luminati's Pizza is a hallmark business in Chicagoland. It has been said to be one of the most famous deep dish restaurants. Has a pretty kind of a famous vibe for being just local political players sometimes, at least weighing in on different political races here and there. And we thought it'd be fun to promote the ways that different small business clans in Chicago push for their own self-interest and elected electoral politics. A lot of people saying electoral politics doesn't mean anything. Well, the small business owners, you know, who have their livelihoods at stake, think differently. You know, and none of this really translates to bigger policy or bigger, better dynamics for the public, except sometimes they get better food. Sometimes. We just started with the raw, things that we could fact check going through Illinois Sunshine, a great tool that not every state has. Illinois has afforded us this tool because it's been run by one party that's been so corrupt for so long that everyone's like, yeah, we need something to keep the people in power in check. Luminati has 50 pages of Illinois Sunshine pages of...
Yeah. Let me add damage. My introduction a little bit as well.
Go for it.
So, I found it quite humorous that Luminati's name sounds like Illuminati. I thought that was pretty funny, and then you have the pizza connection to Pizzagate.
Triangles.
And I like the personal challenge of acting like a madman, but then pulling it back together somehow.
Yeah.
So let's pull it back together right now. I think that basically some of our other reports that we gave to the people, they showed how the local small business people band together and they take actions collectively in their self-interest, a lot of times centered around an elected official, but a lot of times that elected official is almost like a puppet and what's the real politics is going on in the Chamber of Commerce back room or whatever. So this guy is trying to, this guy's made 55, he's got 55 pages of political donations that start, that are, the most recent are 2021, the oldest are in 1999.
Mm-hmm.
And this seemed like this might be a case study to apply our methods of dialectical materialism. Can we tease apart, you know, what is the contemporary thing going on in politics in Chicago, you know?
Yeah, I mean, like, I think that we've developed a developing theory, as we look at these historical building and movement narratives, that ultimately comes down to the material reality, the extractivism behind it, and the managers all vying for power and control of it, ultimately over the workers, over the masses, working to produce these urban spaces, these societal spaces, these regions. And Chicago, being where we're from, has been, you know, has been our goal to understand and study and try to piece together where we went through with the Filibustero movement and Porfirio Diaz's Mexican machine building. You know, how does that look like here in Chicago? You know, we've talked about Anton Cermak, we've talked about the mob. Like, low-key,
how different business wars from the early 20th century. I was quite fascinated by the circulation war, the newspaper war.
Right. You know, restaurant business, the pizza business, you know, it's a business. You know, in Chicago, it's you know, we have a history here, a culture that's pretty low-key, but very prideful. And, you know, having the top-notch pizzeria, a deep dish pizza specialty of Chicago. Although I don't think Luminati's made the top 20 of like the Times magazine's like top pizzerias. I don't know, for the local Chicago or the Chicago magazine.
Yeah, next episode we're going to be reviewing the pizza.
Right.
Right now we're reviewing the political economy.
Right, the political economy behind
the hidden hand of capital.
Yeah.
In local politics.
Right. You know, they didn't bribe the food tasters. But they went wrong. But everyone else, 50 pages of just, I think it's important to go back to understanding that, you know, in urban politics, real estate and small businesses tend to be the ones that run a lot of the local show. And it tends to be their values, their human and their family values that get reflected back. It's not justice. It's not words I've written on the Constitution. It's the human element of it all. At least that's been, you know, what I've been gathering from, you know, our analysis.
Yeah, I think there's a term called the extra parliamentary left from Gladio, which is, we don't have to get into Gladio for our viewers and everything, but the idea is there are supposed to be these leftists that refuse to participate in elections.
Yeah.
And they do direct revolutionary actions or whatever.
Yeah.
But as we've found, there's quite a lot of extra parliamentary organizing by the capitalists.
Right.
That we should try to understand.
And push back against or emulate towards different outcomes, although maybe they're doing it for the exact outcomes they want. But like I think that
yeah, maybe we could snatch away the master's tools and at least make sure he's not holding on to them.
Right. With that being said, you want to start from 99?
I was actually thinking maybe we could just go into that article about, like, we could do like a quick review of who is Illuminati, Google his name for one.
Sounds good.
Then you can, if you can find that article you showed me about the corporations that have taken over his business.
All right, I think that's in our messenger chat. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll go look for that. But yeah,
you, I can, it's if it's in my, it's in Facebook. Oh, it's in Twitter Messenger. In our DMs.
In our DMs.
Okay, I'll open up my DMs and give the viewers a peek. Nothing to hide.
Okay, look at that, full transparency. Yeah. You know, it's not like this is like the most like shady, nefarious figure in Chicago or anything, but it's a fun, it's a public one, and you know, and I think that also, you know, they're not really doing anything nefarious. This is all fair game, but I think it's worth informing the public about these dynamics, especially as it pertains to local politics, and why the restaurant associations is one of the most powerful lobbies in urban America, because the rich like to go dine out, you know, everybody does. Even during the pandemic, it was hard to shut down, you know, dining, in general, although that is the industry that got hit the hardest. We could have changed our world altogether during that time, but
we didn't. Yeah, I think that these different associations we've seen in the past have been involved in the deep politics. So I have no doubt that the restaurant association, they have a special carve out from the minimum wage for their workers.
Yeah.
Still, which is pretty preposterous. The restaurant minimum wage is like $2 an hour.
Yeah.
And then technically with tips, you're supposed to have it add up to above the federal minimum wage. But obviously there's nobody out there like checking compliance.
Right.
And yeah, probably quite highly exploited, very exploitative industry, at least when I was briefly involved in it.
Right.
Do you have any experience in the restaurant
industry? I was a waiter for a brief spell. but yeah, you know, being a waiter, it's challenges. You know, making $2 an hour or so, it's some change. It doesn't help.
I was a busboy in a Greek diner for 2 weeks,
hmm.
And it was a terrible experience. My coworkers were highly exploited. They were all undocumented. And the owners were Greek, kind of hybrid criminal business people, it seemed like. They were also involved in real estate. They bought the apartment building with the restaurant underneath. And so the restaurant was almost like a loss leader because they already had minted their money buying the apartment building. And I made very little money. I was pretty pissed off. And it was a terrible, toxic working environment. So that's, not to... I don't know. That was my experience, in the restaurant industry.
Yeah, it's a tough industry. You know, I've been a waiter. I've worked at a different, fast food spots, coffee shops, cafes. It's working with undocumented people that are being exploited for their labor. Very common occurrence, and also I think it's one of the most human jobs of like waiting on on the public and on your neighbors, on your community. And it's rough that, it's so exploitative in order for you for those businesses to feel like they need to succeed. Luminati's been around for
let's Google Luminati. Let's find these Twitter DMs, the non-incriminating
let's find
DMs. I'm not going to show everyone my DMs.
Wow, okay. So we're just... That was a lie.
Change my mind on that.
Okay.
Get ready to get disappointed.
Mm.
That's the slogan of all my friends and family.
That's how we do.
We're specifically related to NATO.
Gotcha. To NATO? What?
To me,
oh.
Though. Oh, yeah, also to NATO. I think you should get ready to get disappointed by NATO.
I mean, I think they're trying to destroy the UN, so that's kind of shady.
Yeah, well, we got in trouble once already for the... talking about what's going on in Ukraine.
Gotta not talk about that no more. No more talk about that for now. All right. So, the time is right. Okay, I'm sorry.
All right, let's just look up Luminati's biography.
Yeah. DuckDuckGo?
Yeah, for safety.
Oh, that's cool.
I guess. I mean, probably.
I think so.
I think they can, other companies probably can track what you're doing on DuckDuckGo using their own websites. So this is the website. All right, his biography. Let's hear him out.
Yeah, Giordano's just, looking at that, wow, you just claimed Chicago's best, They didn't hold a contest or anything.
You think Giordano's is good, Jose?
I grew up right by one, so, it was kind of a common thing.
All right, so we're not... retweets are not endorsements.
Mm-mm.
Us reading this on air doesn't mean that we are endorsing this person's activities.
Wow.
The last point I want to make before we dig in is, one, I think that Lenin said something in Imperialism, the Highest Phase of Capitalism, about how the big banks love investing in expansions of cities and new cities and new districts of cities because they can buy political power almost as a commodity, especially if it's not, it's a pretty disorganized situation. They can kind of go in there and make the structures and you know, make them to their specifications.
Yep. Yep. So Citibank like bought up Chicago, or like built up Chicago, and now like Chase Bank is buying them up. It's kind of what I think is happening. But yeah, banker wars.
Yep, and the bankers bought up Menotti's. So we're going to get into the whole history.
All right.
But there's some bigger actors at play.
The Meritage.
Meritage Group, investment firm based in San Francisco.
Might be friends with one Nancy Pelosi, who kind of is like the Michael Madigan of San Francisco.
Okay, that's a good idea. Let's see if there's any kind of website. See who the board, if they say who their board of directors is. It's a pretty meager website.
Yeah, and their logo's gross.
Not even any clip art of like happy people in conference rooms.
This is it. This is all they got? That is awful.
Meritage Group LP currently manages investments both directly and through external managers in public and private equity, credit, and real estate. Okay, so everything.
Yeah.
San Francisco, Greenwich, Connecticut is a very deep political state.
Yeah, people from Connecticut are so weird.
Everybody should watch out for Connecticut.
Yeah. Yeah.
The senior managing directors of Meritage Group LP and its affiliates are Nat Simons. Okay, mm-hmm. Who is Nat Simons? Laura Baxter Simons. Nice power couple. Hmm. Alex Magaro and Arif Mauji. So we may be ascending into the dizzying heights of the haute bourgeoisie here.
And to remind people how we ended up back here, so Luminati's Pizza has been a Chicago family-owned business for quite some time. It's been has a lot of investors. Their major investor now is the Meritage Group. It's an investment group out of San Francisco. Has bought ownership stake in Luminati's Pizza in Chicago.
Don't look for changes because there won't be any. Great pizza will remain great pizza.
Mm-hmm. Corporate pizza. Pretty bad.
So they're going to keep their part ownership in the pizza chain, but they're just going to have all this capital. Mm-hmm. And when you consider that this guy has these political connections...
A lot of know-how.
So this guy, it started out Meritage Group, this shadowy...
I don't know if they're shadowy.
I think...
They have a pretty bad website, but...
Their website is certainly not informative. All it has is the names of the figureheads.
Yeah.
Oh, I have to prove I'm not a robot again. Okay,
the upside down dog? No, okay. All right. Not a robot.
Harvard man, Alex Magaro, works there. Arif Mauji, also from Greenwich.
Okay. All right. Connecticut. Gotta watch out, man. That's shady.
All right, Laura Baxter Simons has had a few... Oh, Sea Change Foundation. Wasn't there something... Renaissance Technologies. Okay, these companies seem like
96, 2011. It's a long time.
Berkeley
co-founder.
Stanford. Ted Royce School. Okay, what is this? The Sea Change. So Renaissance Technologies is this is not the same as Renaissance Capital, is it? Sea Change is founded in 2006, supporting climate change mitigation, clean energy through focused philanthropy. International counterpart, Sea Change Foundation International, formerly known as Klein LTD, was founded in 2011. International shares the common strategy of providing... this is the political connection to the Democratic Party, maybe. This couple, somehow. Mm-hmm. I mean, it seems like being part of this kind of NGO
clean
shows...
energy, huh?
They're at a certain level of mm-hmm. political influence that they are part of these international NGOs, you know?
Oh, have they given to Illinois 6?
Do you want to put them in the Illinois Sunshine?
Yeah.
Okay. So this is the method of deep political research. It's iterative. flying by the seat of your pants.
Yeah, and we stand on the shoulders of researchers and government, accountability workers before us. I mean, Illinois Sunshine is a phenomenal tool that is at our disposal only because Illinois has had such a history of better government activism. I'm gonna find this.
Do you think they have it in California? Do you think they have any California?
Yeah, maybe.
Political in California. Anyway.
Nah, I don't know actually.
But I think we're just making our initial impressions, so we can't go down too many rabbit holes.
Right.
California political donations.
Yeah, if California don't have it, then like, man, you're not gonna find this in any other state. Maybe we might be the only state with it.
See, I think they don't have a real easy to use. Oh, maybe Open Secrets has it. All right, let's see about Nat Simons. What? Oh man, it's just a bunch of reports. Donors.
No, I guess you could find them.
Top contributors. This is not as easy to use of a website as
Illinois Sunshine. Illinois Sunshine is just so great.
I think it's because of the down-to-earth Midwestern attitude that leads to, straightforward web interfaces. Anyway, so we're just going to go ahead and say that maybe... Oh, yeah, Nat Simons is a billionaire hedge fund manager and philanthropist.
Founder of the Meritage Group. Great.
Oh, yes, here we go. This is a nice little... Now, this is the thing that's so great about the internet. That you're...
Oof.
Always just a few...
That's all shady as hell.
So for the audio-only listeners, this article that we just opened from The Guardian is about Nat Simons, who is, presumably wife, Baxter Simons. What's her name again?
Wow.
Something Baxter Simons.
Sexist.
Yes, yeah. Sorry.
Sorry.
He's the son of the founder of Jim Simons.
Wow.
Who is the famous mathematician that started Renaissance Capital.
Okay.
And then Renaissance Capital, the dude who was like his partner, according to him, stole the company and turned it into this super conservative thing. But the daughter of that guy wrote all this Breitbart shit. She was like a volunteer for Breitbart.
Terrible.
And she wrote all these pro-Trump articles, and they were very into funding Trump. So this Renaissance Technologies Laura Baxter Simons was a counsel at Renaissance Technologies, and that suggests to me that this has got to be related to Renaissance Capital, I think.
Yeah.
Since her husband is the son of Jim Simons.
Okay. Wow. Okay. Well, wow.
So what's this say? Democratic donor built a vast $8 billion private wealth fund in Bermuda. Paradise Papers reveal James Simon tried to keep tax haven. So this is about his father.
Okay.
Jim Simons. So now we're already like...
So this, we're just getting started, Illuminati.
We started with the pizza.
Okay.
Illuminati pizza.
The Illuminati deep dish pizza is pretty good. It's got sausage, green pepper, spinach, tomato, and it's got the buttered garlic crust.
I'm going to have to try a slice.
I recommend it.
Maybe it could be a mistake to be trying a slice. Maybe we need some kind of like a... front person to go and pick up the pizza.
I'm
sure it's not associated.
Still going to go and get pizza from there, maybe.
All right.
But yeah, this is shady. Obviously, these people are like real estate psycho Mongols from the Bay Area making their money in Bermuda. And
I think it illustrates the specialization process of the capitalists.
Mm-hmm.
And it's possible that by being involved in local politics since 1999, Mr. Minotti is now able to kind of offer out his services to people who don't have that kind of access, right?
Well, I mean, he has a very intimate knowledge of Chicago, and I guess, like, and that's a specialized service to offer a investment group like the Meritage group. Now, why? Again, though, I mean, it all comes back to real estate. The restaurant business is cutthroat and ascends to these levels and normalizes that level of human misery and exploitation in labor, because it's part of like the vanguard of capital's face to the public.
Yeah, I think you're onto something that super profits come in the restaurant industry, but also super losses. Like most restaurants, businesses fail.
Right. They'll need a constant bailout. They'll need a benefactor hovering over them to bail them out should their business not.
Yeah, and then they with the super profits, and you know, I feel like it's like, yeah. I mean, I'm not going to say Illuminati's like mafia guy, but there's certainly a historical connection between the pizza business in particular and the mafia.
It's very anti-Italian American of you.
Famous Ray's Pizza in New York City. The famous Ray who started the first one was a heroin dealer, and a bunch of the owners of Famous Ray's franchises went down for dealing heroin or like keeping heroin in the basement of the store and stuff.
Oh yeah, they're part. Famous Ray's Pizza by like over here by Summit.
Oh, maybe there's a connection to the New York one, but if you want, I'm Mr. Manhattan here, I'm trying to become. You know, tough Chicago guy, but I am who I am, you know, so I know about this restaurant that's just on every corner in Manhattan, and especially in the downtown area. There's tons of, it's like a Starbucks or a Famous Ray's, and they're all franchises, but it's all loosely held franchises. I mean, maybe that's something we'll study. I mean, we're studying a pizza guy, and you know, we don't know what he's into.
And let me just say that Italian Americans have contributed so much to the American fabric, culture, way of life, and being, and that we by no means are disparaging pizza and all the amazing thing it's done for low-income, hardworking people all over the world.
I have nothing against Italian Americans. I have a great admiration for the socialist struggle in Italy that was so brutally suppressed because it was so strong.
Because the fascism was stronger?
Well, they got money. They got money from abroad.
Mm-hmm.
That the socialists, though, if you've ever seen Charlie Wilson's War at the End, that CIA agent is ranting. Is Tom Hanks in that?
I thought I saw. All
right. Well, mate, let's do a little fact check on here. Charlie Wilson's War. Soviet-Afghan War. So, oh yeah, Tom Hanks is the star, but there's the dude who plays the CIA guy, Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Ah, great actor.
He played possibly bumped off with a hot shot.
Really?
Some people say the Scientologist bumped him off with a hot shot.
Monsters. God, really?
Others say that. I don't know if that's true or not.
Because I just believe everything that he says.
But allegedly.
Allegedly. I mean, like, he was just such a talented, great guy. And it's really sad he had that problem. That's what happened.
So his character at the end of the movie is talking about how the CIA needs to acknowledge the contributions of ethnic whites in the organization. And if they wouldn't have had Italian-Americans as part and Greek Americans as part of the CIA, the communists would have won the elections in Greece and Italy. And there's this grain of truth to that, which is if there wasn't a CIA campaign of murder, a CIA funded campaign of murder, the communists would have won all over Europe.
I mean, if CIA wasn't founded as an overtly like New England project of like colonialism and like, you know, mental spiritual supremacy, like, yeah, it probably would have done a lot of good for the world, but instead it just fucking killed a bunch of people. Psychos?
I'm not sure if the CIA would have done a lot of good in the world.
You know, if it was just trying to get, like, places to be functional, like, democracies, but I think instead the CIA was just a project for, like, American hegemony and, like, supremacy, no?
You mean white American hegemony?
Well, yeah.
Oh, what did you say?
Well, like, I mean, like, well, yeah, like, white, like, spiritual.
We hate the CIA. I don't know about this whole democracy doctor alternative universe, but we both hate the CIA.
Right.
Well, and the
I initially wanted we, to
join. I like the Italians, and I think the Italian Americans right. are quite
that's
all right.
That's where we started this. Italians yeah. are awesome.
Mario. So let's go into the matryoshka doll further. Mm-hmm. The Italian matryoshka doll. Into the layers of cheesy goodness. So previous to ownership by Meritage Group, who acquired the firm in 2021, mm-hmm. it was owned by BDT Capital, which is a Chicago firm that invested in the pizza chain in 2016.
Hmm.
And what's up with BDT Capital?
BDT Capital.
Here's their website, BDT and Company.
The merchant bank to the closely held.
So what does that mean?
I mean, you know, we don't want to say Illuminati because that's ridiculous, you know, Dan Brown, Da Vinci Code term for like the way the world works. But this is obviously the Illuminati bank.
Yeah.
Obviously, that's what's going on.
It is also the name of the pizza founder, Lou Minotti.
Okay, this again, it's just good that he was like, oh my God, it's all right on the nose. I'm like, I think it's just his name. It's his name's
Folks.
All right. The merchants bank to the closest.
They smell like sulfur, folks. They're demons.
Right. Yeah, that could be one of the pizzeria. Dude, you know, someone's going to watch this. Going to end up at, like, my pizzeria that's, like, down the block with, like, an assault rifle. Like, where are the kids? It's like,
Yeah, that's not our fault. Yeah, what we said was they should go to the library and
read
Lenin.
Right.
Yeah.
When you read, but, I mean, it's important when you're reading Lenin, when you're reading, like, this theory of, like, capital's societal machine building and the way it subjugates people and maintains power. I mean, yeah. Think about Illuminati. Think about the...
Think Illuminati pizza chain.
The Illuminati pizza chain. Think about the... I mean, you also look at McDonald's. Look at... But, I mean, Illuminati's so local and...
Think about TV shows that you watched. Like, you just brought up McDonald's. Damn, you just, like, activated my mind palace. The rooms are shifting, like in The Matrix 2. Mm. The fucking reason Danny Solis went to jail was because a McDonald's Burger King franchise owner that was representing a huge corporation mm-hmm. wanted to come to Chicago, and Ed Burke wanted to make them pay, and they went to the FBI, and the FBI listened to them, and so they wired him up, and then, or was it Ed Burke or Danny Solis?
Ed Burke was shaking down the Burger King.
Ed Burke was shaking down the Burger King. Yeah, yeah. So that is like that shit was like pretty ham-fisted.
Yep.
And how about instead of, you know, I mean, this is a hypothetical scenario in my mind palace. Mm-hmm. Imagine if you wanted to come and make money in the restaurant business in Chicago, and you knew the people to talk to, and you knew the Palms degrees, and you didn't get shaken down, and you didn't snitch to the FBI.
Yep.
You went through the merchant bank to the closely held.
The closely held. Who do they closely hold?
That's what the Hobby Lobby was about. That's why they said they didn't have to follow Obamacare, because they're closely held.
What? Really?
You remember the like homophobic arts and crafts shop story? The saga?
Yeah,
maybe the memes?
Hardcore Michaels person, yeah.
What's the hardcore Michaels person?
Michaels is like another arts and crafts store.
Oh, yeah. I do not go to Hobby Lobby. I don't eat Chick-fil-A. Yeah. I don't patronize any Republican affiliated identity businesses.
Yeah, they're like out and proud pro ID politics for, like, you know, the white side. It's just like, well, that's not healthy.
I don't know. They're also involved in smuggling artifacts from Iraq.
Right, you see, like, stuff like that. That's like the pro colonialism, like, stuff like that we're trying to, like, not normalize.
This
great CIA monsters.
Yeah, you gotta listen to our podcast because you're supposed to surveil us.
I think so. I mean, that's basically what it is. Just little nuggets for them to, like, reflect on, try to do better.
Yeah, you don't have to, like, watch us while we're, you know.
I'm just telling you what we're up to.
In private, you can just listen to the summary at the end of the week.
That's basically, yeah. Try to make it simple. Everyone's busy.
This nice podcast, Minion Death Cult, I'm a big fan of, and maybe we could cross promote with them someday. They had the hilarious episode where they went through the Facebook comment response
mm-hmm.
on the ground live internet reporting of, you know, what the people in the comment section have to say, And one of the people was saying that that blaming Hobby Lobby for buying artifacts from Iraq is like blaming the drug user instead of the drug dealer.
What? That's what? What?
They're just addicted to buying biblical artifacts.
I mean, from war zones. I guess. Also, get a new thing. Like, that's not. No. I don't know. That's the same.
But so you can imagine, like, that's what there's no definition of a closely held company. I think one of the big lib talking points during the whole Hobby Lobby thing was that, what makes them closely held? Like, they have tons of investors and it's all financially vertically integrated just like any other company.
Mm.
So closely held is like an ideological identity for business owners.
Yeah, like we're part of the human strain that's always been working and producing and not toiling and dying. So like we get to stay in charge. That sounds very Chicago-y.
So allegedly this company is like the Marty Bird's company in Ozarks. Is really? What I'm allegedly imagining in my mind palace.
Yeah, I can see that. I mean, like, yeah, like, this is the company that holds it all together, a little network of shady show.
Yeah, you have your shady pizzeria, with your total, got all your security cameras.
Good pizza.
And you can't, okay, I'm sorry. I mean, Illuminati's is not a shady pizzeria, but imagine if someone did have a shady pizzeria and they had all these security cameras up and they controlled the zone. And so whatever is going on in the basement is clandestine. Because they live in a tax district, a recently incorporated tax district, and they're paying money to the person who incorporated it.
Wow.
So they enjoy a certain amount of autonomy.
Mm-hmm.
But they have a way of making money, but they don't have all the capital they need. So BD&T and company comes on in. Do you want to read the next statement about who they are?
Yeah, established in 2009. Weird. Everybody else was like financially crashing at that time. BDT and Company is merchant bank.
Free money from the government.
Wow, they just found it. Well, and Company is a merchant bank that provides advice. I just realized they're from Chicago. Obama from Chicago, 2009. Wow. It's a merchant bank that provides advice and long-term capital through its affiliated funds to help family and founder-led businesses pursue their strategic and financial objectives. We work with the owners and leaders of these closely held businesses to find creative solutions to their most complex issues, labor busted, while also providing access to our world-class network. Ugh. Our affiliates, BDT Capital Partners, has deployed $29 billion in capital through its investment funds and co-investments by its global investor base, probably shady oil tycoons in the Middle East.
Yeah, what, you want to come and play around in Chirac?
Yep.
Call up BDT and company, and they've got a whole farm team of psychos with small business tyrants, as the great Street Fight Radio sages coined.
Mm-hmm.
They've got a farm team of small business tyrants for you to invest in.
I like the way you phrase that. It's like I could really see like the little RTS game where you're like building like your shady Chicago empire, and this is part. Like,
yeah,
part of it.
Well, we don't want to go overboard just getting in these rabbit holes and stuff.
All right. Wow, look at them. They got Los Angeles, New York,
Chicago,
London,
Dallas, downtown Dallas, London, Frankfurt.
Frankfurt.
Yeah, so I mean, this is pretty intensely, to bring it back to Lenin or whatever, he was talking about how there's like a handful of banks that control the economy at such a small level because every, small business owner, I mean, if you want to get to this level where you can just get money coming in from the Fed printing money.
Mm-hmm. You're the first on the trough. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's like, it's like a nexus. It's like an interface.
Yeah. Everyone's got to make money off of your shit after you're done digesting it. Your money, right? And McDonald's also wanted to say this a while ago. And also, as we were like looking at, it's just pizza. McDonald's was just burgers and fries, but it was also real estate. Oh my God, almost all the way down there. It's also real estate. McDonald's had the vision for a drive-through centric business restaurant, But at the end of the day, the reason that investment firms such as that were, I mean, like BDT, were interested in the McDonald's model was because every McDonald's was a consolidated real estate portfolio that corporate McDonald's owns. McDonald's business isn't just burgers, fries, and shakes.
Oh, yeah.
It's the property, it's the land. And it's the way that that affords them political influence. That's not a new idea. It's just McDonald's was the one that went insane, taking it global with their chemical food.
Yeah, it's like commodities are commodities. You know, commodity is a commodity is a commodity. Right. And this exchanging commodities, that's the business of capitalism. And that's why they talk about, creative solutions to complex problems.
Yeah.
That could be like, when you next time you kill someone, just bring them to our gigantic food processing factory and you can just dissolve them in acid.
Yeah, it might be a little less Batman than that and just be like, you're in the red, why don't you just borrow some money from here and, then eventually cover up your losses there. Probably.
Right. Yeah, Tad, I want to qualify what I just said. That's a scene from the movie Thief.
Oh.
Michael Bay's movie Thief, same director as Heat and a bunch of really good movies.
Heat's a good movie.
And that's a scene, local Chicago movie. That's also just thinking that movie. There's no thing connecting that to any of the parties we've discussed today.
Right, yeah. Illuminati's. No humans in that pizza.
Do you want to read this Lenin quote I keep talking about?
And sure.
Then read Illuminati's story of how he started his business?
Okay.
Yeah,
I think that's good. That's a good dichotomy.
All right. Vladimir Ulyanich Volkov.
This guy.
Okay. Imperial Monastery Capitalism. Should be in chapter 3.
Wow.
Towards the end. Listen to... I should plug the person who did the really great reading of... They read this out loud to make an audiobook. You know what? This is actually a plug I'm going to make on air. Let me see if I can find it on my Spotify.
Yeah.
But it's Comrade Reads. Yeah, Comrade Reads. Check out Comrade Reads,
please. Comrade Reads. That's cool.
Yeah, and they audiobook voices are so stuffy sometimes. And I feel like I'm reading an ad.
Yeah.
But they have just a nice, it's like your friend reading to you. It's chill. And they've read a bunch of classics of communism.
Okay.
Which don't have a copyright, I imagine. Comrade Reads. No, it's not it. It's not Comrade Reads, sorry.
Okay. That's a lie. Forget it.
Okay, hold on. Imperial... That's a good one, too, though. But imperialism, the highest stage of capitalism. Oh, wait. I found it. Okay, it's... Book Club Commune on Spotify.
Book Club Commune. Okay.
Yeah. And they've read a bunch of stuff. They're on Spotify. Maybe they're on Twitter. I don't know. But here we go. This is what
speculation?
Yeah, you go ahead and read.
Okay. Speculation in land situated in the suburbs of rapidly growing big towns is a particularly profitable operation for finance capital. The monopoly of the banks merges here with the monopoly of ground rent and with monopoly of the means of communication, since the rise in the price of land and the possibility of selling it profitably in lots, etc., is mainly dependent on good means of communication with the center of the town. This means And these means of communication are in the hands of large companies, which are connected to these same banks through the holding system and the distribution of seats on the boards. As a result, we get what the German writer L. Eschwing, a contributor to Die Bank, who has made a
special... That'd be cool if it was called Die Bank.
Die Bank. Die Bank.
Die Bank.
Yeah. Die Bank. who made a special study of real estate, business and mortgages, etc., calls a bog. Frantic speculation and suburban building lots, collapse of building enterprises like the Berlin firm of Boswa and Kauner, which acquire as much as 100 million marks with the help of the sound and solid Deutsche Bank, the latter, of course, acting through the holding systems, i.e. secretly, behind the scenes, and got out of it with a loss of only 12 million marks. Then the ruin of small proprietors and of workers who get nothing from the fictitious building firms, fraudulent deals with the honest Berlin police and administration for the purpose of gaining control of the issue of cadastral certificates, building licenses, etc., etc.
Yeah, this shit is cool.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
It's like, just like today. It was written 100 years ago.
Wow. I mean, he's right. That's the whole... That's how the centralized... The bank acts as the centralizing force for these endeavors. You know, like, capital kept thinking that it needed to build indefinite building. That's why we keep having these road constructions every summer. It's just places for capital to dump and money and move, you know, to hide work and labor around. Yeah, Lenin called it out.
Yeah, and I mean, if you think about it, if you want to break it down, it's like the Berlin firm of Boswell and Knauer. I mean, I'm not going to slander the CDT Capital or whatever, but the Marty Bird's firm, you know, they just up and disappeared or whatever, but they were getting money. I mean, in that case, they're getting money from the cartel, but really, they're getting, you know, they're associated as like a subsidiary patsy fall guy of a bigger bank like Deutsche Bank. And so, you know, we've kind of seen that Illuminati's got bought up by CD or got invested in by CDT and kept control. And then the even bigger Jim Simons' son's firm came in and invested. And, you know, Jim Simons is like one of these like masters of the universe, the Renaissance capital. We don't even really know how much money they have because it was all hidden.
Spooky.
So let's see what Illuminati has to say. We got to hear from Illuminati as well.
Yep.
All right, let's close some of these tabs. Whew, got the shivers looking on these LinkedIn pages.
Sea change.
The sea change.
Matt Simons.
It seems like there's some kind of Scientology, at least in Free Word Association. Anyway. So let's read about Illuminati's pizza.
Yeah, you want me to go through this?
Well, if you want me to take over, I'll just take over just let me know.
Yeah, I can go through this. Illuminati got a start in the 1940s, working in Chicago's first deep dish pizzeria. He took his pizza expertise to Lincolnwood, a northern suburb of Chicago, where he and his wife Jean opened the first Illuminati's pizzeria on March 17th, 1971. Lou was known for his fun-loving character as well as making Chicago's best pizza. Loyal patrons lined the streets on opening day for a taste of his delicious deep dish creations. Lou always thought it was funny that an Italian should open a pizzeria in a Jewish neighborhood on an Irish holiday.
That's a classic boomer sense of humor.
Oh my God, so many ways to be racist. But that was Lou's style. He loved all the types of people and didn't care much about what people thought.
Whatever kind of white person you are,
I don't care what type of white.
I'll get along with you.
Yeah.
I don't care if you're Jewish or Polish or Irish.
A white's a white's a white.
Well, actually, I guess he didn't say anything good about Polish people. Maybe he doesn't have a problem.
God.
We don't want to slander this guy.
Jesus. Don't great pizza.
Troll this guy on Twitter or whatever. All right. So, one thing is that this dude is getting his start in the 70s in Chicago.
Right. In Lincolnwood.
In Lincolnwood. If you build it, they will come. After meeting with an enormous success in Lincolnwood, Lou decided to open another pizzeria in a little northwestern suburb by O'Hare Airport, Elk Grove Village. Unfortunately, the Elk Grove location had a tough beginning. A major road construction project began a few months after the restaurant's opening, and for 14 months, business suffered immensely. Sounds like he might have a chip on his shoulder.
Yeah, never let them forget it. Wow.
So that's why he knew he had to get involved in politics to make sure nobody ever does a major road construction process in front of his brand new business.
Could have ruined them.
Oh yeah, it says at one point the accountants advised Lou to close the doors before it ruined him.
Well,
Baloo would have nothing to do with that idea and persevered.
Persevered.
I know, that's just, it's funny to say it, but.
Sure enough, once the construction ended, people came in droves to Lumina's Pizzeria and Elk Grove. Bet you a bunch of bodies were buried in that construction project.
In the Mayan Palace of the construction project.
Right.
The other thing is, like, you know, this is a thing in the 70s. This would have been in the white flight era. And, yeah. And just as Leonard was talking. Renewal. What did you say now?
Urban renewal.
And these new suburbs are being built. Mm-hmm. As Lennon pointed out, the banks love to build new suburbs. They love to create new governments. Mm-hmm. You know, when in countries they've couped or in little local polities where they can get their hooks into everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then the banks that basically have to work with the construction companies end up working with the business owners.
And yeah, if you think about creating these kind of new white suburban communities as white flight, this was kind of like like, to bring up my friend's essay, Marcus Sundiata Brown, about the wages of whiteness and the synthesis of Du Bois and mm-hmm. Marx, that, like, you know, these workers are getting told, like, look, there's mm-hmm. you know, we're gonna make a deal with you, you're gonna move into these communities that you get to own a house, mm-hmm. but there's a much more intensive form of control on the local politics. It's not about, you know, I don't think unions run Elk Grove Village.
Right.
Unions might have a lot more influence in the city of Chicago than I might be talking out of my ass here, but speculating.
I mean, like, and I mean, the Chicago suburbs as a, taking it suburb by suburb has been something I've been wanting to do as a project for a couple of years now. If we look at townships like Aurora, like Rockford, it's been in my, and some suburbs like the southwest suburb over here where I'm at on the train yards, and then northwest suburbs, it feels more like unions capture some townships in Illinois now and then, and other townships are explicitly anti-union, and there's a very tense and not very polite history.
That sounds like an extremely worthwhile project, and yeah. Like almost like writing a book about that would be like a fucking phenomenal book.
That'd be really fun. That'd be fun.
But you don't have to hurt your eyes reading a book. Just listen to us.
Right.
In your headphones or on your YouTube or, you know, whatever.
We do fun things like that. Talk Chicago stuff. History.
During your stupid Zoom call for class.
You should be watching. You should be in class. Maybe when you on your ride to class on the train. On the bus.
Or if you're in some annoying college class taught by a very disaffected TA, then you can. I give you permission to ignore the Zoom session. Just check out stuff on your own.
I mean, it's a math class. People should be at least copying. Well, okay. So
you know what? People tell you math is all in your head. It's in your heart, bro.
Okay, that makes sense.
It's in your heart.
Math is about what you feel, not about logic.
Yep.
All
right, Illuminati died in 1978. Wow. His oldest son, Mark, just graduated from college and joined his mother in the family business.
Mm.
Yeah, like I said, you know, we don't want to slander these people too much.
But Illuminati special is an amazing special. It's a good pizza.
Yeah. I gotta eat the pizza before I review it. Jose, yeah. I guess he's been eating the pizza his whole life.
And well, there's the Illuminati's right down the block here. We're gonna get into his donations soon, into his corporate donations. But the 13th ward, it's a pretty shady ward, the 13th, and one of Michael Madigan's right hand,
Mikey Madigan,
Marty Quinn, alderman at Marty Quinn, runs the 13th ward. Illuminati's just up and down.
You want to watch out for amazing. Those two politician names, Mayor Quimby, Marty Quinn.
Yeah, Mayor Quimby.
Dan Quayle.
Yeah.
Not to be admired.
Yeah, Quimby.
Anyway, slander. We're doing more slander, but it's all in the imaginary. It's parody.
Sue the hell
it's all parody.
Yeah.
All right. But in families, there's always a big conflict about, are you going to take over the family business, son? Are you going to keep my legacy alive?
I think he was just like, yeah, no, that sounds cool.
It's a lot of drama.
Maybe.
There could have been a lot of drama. Anyway.
Anyway.
I'm guessing. Okay.
Minotti's success comes from our commitment to quality. Every Luminati pizza, every Luminati pizza is handmade from scratch, using the finest and freshest ingredients. Every year, the Minotti team hand selects California vine-ripened tomatoes for the perfect sweet and tangy taste. Mm-mm. The exclusive sausage blend is seasoned to our exact specifications. The fresh mozzarella cheese comes from the same small dairy that has supplied Luminati's for over 40 years. And our family's secret recipe for flaky, buttery crust has been passed down from generation to generation. You'll know with every bite that each pizza was made with care and special attention.
Sure. Definitely no children were murdered in the making of these pizzas. Just throwing that out there, because in the times that we live in, some people wonder. Very specific question people have nowadays about their pizza.
Yeah, I mean, my vibe has been, yeah, you know, I'm not so into the Pizzagate as Jose, but...
Yeah.
That's what he believes.
I do not think that that's... I mean, do, you know, urban police across America, you know, creating network of human beings that they human traffic and pimp out and then quietly and secretly murder?
Maybe. That's what I'm about.
Probably. You know, is it just the Democrats and Hollywood with, like, George Soros? I think that's just, like, a part of, like, the Manchin wing, you know? There's other stuff going on. There's a lot more going on.
Yeah, yeah, I'm with that. Yeah, the Democrats are doing it too.
Yeah.
Also, the Republicans, also these business people who just pay off both parties, you know?
Yeah, also it's not a conspiracy. Apparently it's just like what the Roman Empire was built upon.
Yeah, capitalism is the conspiracy.
Yeah,
you know, that's basically it. If you think about these business relationships, like, you can't go, you know, if you want to have a business relationship with a dairy, right, that's like a person-to-person relationship pretty much. And a lot of their, you know, agreement is probably quite a, at least began, you know, with a handshake and a nod. And they're sending stuff back and forth. They're communicating information. Then they're not supervised by anyone.
Mm-hmm.
So if you, you know, for the conspiracy Twitter heads, when you think about how a cult can be a vehicle just for... moving people from place to place, for sending packages and stuff, and you've just got people who are doing aimless things,
mm-hmm.
and it's, and you know, the real inner cult of the cult is, like, you know, doing all the human sacrifices and stuff.
Gross.
That's like capitalism.
Yeah,
because these relationships are, you know, direct. Like this, you know, having someone be your employee for 10 years. And so the next thing, a lot is over 15% of Minotti's employees have been with the company for 10 years or more. So again, I'm not trying to say there's something special about this business compared to any other business. But if you think about it, you've had a relationship for someone for 10 years or whatever, then that relationship is exploitative because it's a wage exploitative relationship, right?
I mean... I agree, because I've been a wage slave my whole life, but I don't know if business owners feel the same way. It'd be interesting to interview someone with that kind of question, you know, from that perspective. I 100% agree with what you just said, but I also know business owners, and I wonder if they would feel the same way.
Yeah, I'm not trying to get down on business owners. I know, like, a lot of, we're business owners. We own a business called a podcast, and I'm not trying to get down on people hustling with taco trucks and stuff, and you know. Owner operators and stuff like that. I guess what I'm just trying to say is,
but, like, you know, like,
a business is a cult, you know. Yeah. And you know, when you have employee loyalty to the business, that's almost like a cult-like response.
Definitely. I mean, like, and like you mentioned, like, there's business owners, like, we're business owners, we have business meetings about OAS info,
you sure do.
You know, and then there's those taco truck hustlers, or raspa eloteros. You know, Luminati's is a place that, as you know, they credit to themselves and admit to, got their start, in the suburbs of Chicago, got their big jump start by angling themselves into the airport, the crown airport of the Midwest, let alone the city, has locations now, you know, by Midway Airport, the lesser known airport. And is always going to be found in the crown's, you know, jeweled spots of Chicago's downtown, real estate spots.
They're on the receiving end of a little stick from Mayor Daley, right?
Right. Well,
that road project right in front of their new pizza shop. It's an interesting question. Was this a
that is interesting, actually. Yeah.
What, you know, we're not trying to just condemn Illuminati, you know, there's other figures out there.
He was responding to the business climate of his time, and I mean...
Yeah, and a sink or swim.
Jay Daley was no, he was no angel, you know, he was a big, a city of big shoulders, he was a little guy, there was a lot of things he had to do.
Well, he was a member of a gang that...
Street gang, right.
...did the... pogrom that we've researched.
Right. So so all that to say is, you know, Illuminati, family-owned business, seems like this BDT group that got its start during the financial crash.
Yeah, who are the BDT group?
That might be interesting to go through, but...
That's, yeah, definitely we should research. Oh, I wonder if... Okay, let's do a quick search of BDT group.
All right, because we do... Wait, or is it BDT Group or BDT?
BDT Capital.
Capital.
Let's just search BDT. BDT Capital Partners.
Alderman Riley. Ah, hey, look at Burke. Wow. Look at it. Eddie Burke.
$1,500 for Edmund M. Brooke on two occasions.
Yeah.
2012-2013.
That's the only people they gave to?
It's pretty funny.
I like that Ed Burke's like, yeah, I want mine. I want mine.
Cash.
I want it.
Okay, watch that tap.
Sorry. I just, that's how I figured he asked for it.
Yeah, I'm sure he asked like a real psycho. And like, it's gotta be a public donation. It's like Jeffrey Epstein, right? The whole dirt mm-hmm. on Jeffrey Epstein is that he's got all these people publicly affiliated to him.
Yep.
So it's like the...
I'm not going
the
down.
The dead man's switch was already pressed, you know?
Right.
Like, if he gets exposed, Clinton is exposed.
Which
Trump is exposed. Everybody who associated with
him. Nothing's going to happen. Crazy.
And so they've got to be... I mean, they've... Like, so how is it that they make 3 donations ever, and then one of their clients has made 55 pages of donations?
Yeah. I mean, and it's funny that it had to be Ed Burke.
It's just, pretty funny.
It is just funny. And then Riley.
In a way, you got to hand it to him.
You don't have to hand it to him. You don't have to.
All right, you do not by any means have to hand it to
you.
Do
not by any means have to hand it to
you. Okay, let's get into some of these donations.
Yeah.
Do you want to start in the end or the beginning?
Let's start at the end. Because, well, no. We wanna...
Oh, well, let's look up Mark Minotti, too.
Okay, there you go.
Mark Minotti has 2 pages of
Bill
donations.
Daley for mayor. Gross. Pawar for Chicago. There you go, buddy.
Ah, the neighbors.
Hedginess Pets. Ah, Hilario Dominguez.
For Hilario Dominguez, local Chicago teacher, right? Or something.
Member of CORE, who I support. I support CORE.
Let's see about any Minottis.
Otherwise, Anna Valencia. Yeah, that makes sense. He's still on that Riley train. Okay.
Jeannie Minotti. So this is one of the tricks for how to donate a lot of money is you get... Jeannie Minotti donated $5,000. Mark Minotti donated $5,000.
Get your whole family.
Mayor. So get all your friends and family together.
Yeah, you get $20,000 out of the Minottis. Yikes.
And that, it also illustrates that, too.
Yeah.
You know, that to have that human network, right? That's something that the president of a bank might not have access for. They might need to have someone else provide that for them, you know?
Mm-hmm. I like that he gave to Pawar, though. And Pawar was Lincolnwood Alliance Party. Okay.
All right, so we're doing, you want to go back to 1999 first?
Yeah. That's
expenditures. Oh, so that's...
13-4 Democrats. So he's probably just, he's just charging stuff to his restaurant, probably, just like right down the street over here in the 13-4.
Yeah, so that's how they got started, kind of. Let's do the big list. That's everything on Minotti. So they have 6 pages of donations, and they have 57 pages of supplying
expenditures.
All right, so you're going to stop me, Jose, when you see a name that...
All right. Where's Dave Sullivan?
...opens up your third eye. Yeah, Dave Sullivan in 1999.
No idea who that is.
George Ryan.
Governor.
Sidney Mattias.
No idea.
Dave Sullivan.
Same guy.
Citizen.
Ocasio. Whoa, ho, ho. Hold
okay,
up.
Okay, this is a good one. All right.
I mean, is it?
Let's search this.
Citizens for Ocasio.
Just be a person.
So they gave them $168 worth of pizza in 2000.
That's shady as hell. I'm sorry. We have to look into that. Okay.
Wait, so do you know who this Ocasio is?
No, no idea.
Oh, okay. I'm sure it's like a local machine. I mean, I don't know. I'm not going to slam them and say they're machine if they're not machine.
I'm not sure.
Okay. IRS. So Citizens for Ocasio is an inactive committee to support the candidacy of Billy Ocasio, the 26th ward.
Hmm. 26th ward.
Hmm. All right. Billy Ocasio. Former senior advisor to Governor Pat Quinn.
Ah.
So we don't know what the pattern is. I don't think we should go into this assuming that he's going to be only giving money to shady people.
No, I think that he's going to give some decent people. I mean, you know, Pilar, he was in there. You know, Pilar's kind of shady, but... Like, yeah, he's going to give to local people that are going to give him the real estate breaks and fix the streets and fix his curbs and do all the, like, menu stuff that you would need. All
right, so this guy's a daily appointee.
Okay, that's shady.
From 1993, taking over for Luis Gutierrez, who went up to the Congress.
Yeah, I don't like it.
Built a school, built the Humboldt Park Library.
Okay, I like all that.
Some stuff in rehabbing the park.
Hmm.
He served on five other committees.
E.
Budget and government operations.
Okay.
Education.
Hmm.
Energy.
Hmm.
Environmental protection.
Hmm.
Public utilities.
Ah, shitty.
Oh, environmental protection and public utilities.
Yeah, shitty together.
Makes sense to combine those?
Yeah.
Not really.
No, that's what I mean. Like, it's just big money slush.
Finance, housing, and real estate.
Oh, God. So he was a player. Like, yeah, I guess I'll go bury these bodies for you.
Yeah. Like we said, we're not slandering people. Yeah. Just
still, but the
emotionally
school.
Good reacting. Job. You know, we have to apply our intuition to solve the mystery of capitalism.
Larson for mayor.
So he did a lot for Larson for mayor.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I mean, it's $20, $30 here and there. A couple meals. A couple free meals.
Yeah, I guess that's an interesting question. So they donate the meals.
Maybe.
And that's the political comp. It's over time, though. You know, it's the time, too, it seems like. You know, you got to think about the human actor, you know, who is...
It's funny that he's going for Larson for mayor. He's obviously going against Daley there.
Daley Jr. Right?
Daley Jr., who already had it locked up. It's funny, like, maybe their dad's... They, you know, the kids kept the rivalry going after their dads kind of headed out.
That's very interesting. Yeah, I think...
So Chicago.
Very Chicago.
Very Chicago.
All right, so Larson ran against Daley Jr.?
I guess. Must have.
Yeah, there's... I mean, my impression broadly of Daley Jr. is that he brought this corporatization to the Daley machine, that they replaced a lot of the patronage with NGOs and nonprofit industrial complex stuff.
Yeah.
And basically made, you know, life more hellish while, you know, sort of obfuscating the mechanism of the hellishness.
Well, the way I read the machine was Jay Daley had more or less perfected what Chicago Machine was meant to do, which was create downtown Chicago to compete with Manhattan. In terms of American cultural impact and influence. You know, it didn't have to be at Manhattan's level. It just needed to be considered in contention with it. And I think it's afforded that.
There's certain... Yeah, I think I can see that for sure.
So that was Jay Daley's mission. But he sat Madigan down at one point to kind of like shut him up, make him stop being such a hothead and like see the beauty of what they were creating. So it was going to be, he was going to be in charge of, put him in charge of it. Basically, corporate America had gotten wise to Chicago Machines' game and mannerisms and way of doing things. They had it out for Chicago to take it over as like Manhattan. Manhattan's owned by corporate America. You know, it's not owned by local street gangs. So he already, Jay Daley saw the power tilting away from the machine union guys on the street kind of running things over time. And Madigan and Ed Burke lost power in the 80s, used the 80s to fight get it back. By the time they took over in the 90s with M. Daly, Della Daly Jr., the landscape of Chicago had changed, where corporate America had already taken control. So, like, I feel like the NGO machinery on their part was a reaction to corporate America already taking over Chicago, and then for them to find a way to sink their hooks into that process, never fully having the control that they used to during J. Daly, but still mitigating the, you know, the control that capital is going to have onto their neighborhoods.
Yeah, I think, that's good shit, dude. Mm-hmm. And also, I would just point out that, you know, if you've ever seen the movie Gangs of New York.
Good movie.
With the...
Leo.
Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yeah, he's a good actor.
Who plays Bill the Butcher? Wasn't he in There Will Be Blood, too?
That was Daniel Day-Lewis.
Daniel Day-Lewis.
Yeah.
Good shit.
Yeah.
Could but, the, yeah, so it's kind of, there's a certain amount of, you see the same patterns in different capitalist developments, you know?
Yeah, and I mean, I think people, you know, there's a lot of good moments in that movie, but there's, you know, the movie centers around an eventual election. It doesn't mean votes is what counted in that movie, but the formality of it all meant something, means something, you know, in this world, in this society, and that kind of brutalism. Daniel Day-Lewis' character eventually has to kill the other candidate that is running against his machine. But his machine is built on a brutality of street gangs, five different gangs controlling five different fingers of a major New York artery.
The five points
that basically he could control the political capital of the entire area through those street gangs. I mean, like, that's real in Chicago too, you know, and it all centers around small businesses. And the dynasties that own them. I need a bathroom break. I'm so excited. I drank all this coffee.
Okay, let's take a little bathroom break. And then when we come back, we're going to go through the rest of the shit. How long have we been going here?
It's been a good while.
All right, let's start.